Located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295 in the Mandarin community. Bible study at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. If you'd like to jump in with the dialogue and discussion, we're talking about the subject today as we celebrate Christmas. Is Jesus Christ truly God? Is he God? Do we just celebrate a babe in Bethlehem? Are we celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom is the epitome, the totality of God himself, and yet shrouded in humanity? I have with me today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is a professor at Conservative Theological University, and we look forward to what we are going to be able to discuss with you. There will be a blessing. Dr. Phelps, I'm looking at some of my outline that I teach in the college and university on the subject of Christology, and I talk about the attributes of Jesus Christ. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is eternal. He is immutable. He is impeccable. He is holy. And I could go into about a month's lecture on just those points and looking at the scripture. But correct me if I'm wrong, all of these attributes, do they not all apply to God himself?
Yes. one of the qualities or attributes of Christ is that of divinity or deity.
That's right.
And when I use those words, I mean it's of God or from God or one who is the only true God.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the scriptures, the Lord was declared by divine decree to be the Son of God. Mm-hmm. It begins way back in Psalm chapter 2. In Psalm 2, we read, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Now, one of the great truths we know from the scriptures is that this is what we call a messianic psalm.
Yes.
It refers to Christ. And the one who is speaking is actually Christ himself.
That's right, because he gave us the scripture.
He speaks in the scriptures. And we're told here that God speaks of him as his son, and that's one of the great truths of the Word of God. So we understand from scriptures that God confesses that he is the Son of God. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are one. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I and my Father are one.
Right.
And that means that there's a oneness of the Father and Son and Spirit, and they are alike. And in the Godhead, there are no levels of deity.
That's right.
They're all equal.
All equal.
In their rank.
Dr. Phelps, you said that reminded me on one occasion a number of years ago, had an opportunity to have a a good little bit of dialogue and discussion with a lady that was out of the belief system of Jehovah's Witness. And we were talking about Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And she said, well, that's no problem. She said, you've got a son. She knew one of my sons. You've got a son. He looks a lot like you. He talks a lot like you. There are things he says that comes out of being your son, but that doesn't mean you're the same one. And that was her argument, retort to the question and to the challenge that Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And there are a lot of people today that will argue that. What is the problem if an individual disbelieves the fact that Jesus Christ is God? Can a person be saved if they do not believe that Jesus is God? Is it truly biblical Christianity if a person jettisons and rejects the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you say? How do you respond to that argument, that question, or that challenge about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ? And for those even, there's some Christians, so-called Christians, that disagree with the deity of Jesus. They say that he was a good man, he was a good teacher, he's a good person to emulate, we need to follow in his footsteps, etc. But deep, deep down, they do not understand what the Scripture says. Speak to that for a moment.
One of the things I learned from Scriptures is that there are many places where we're told that we cannot doubt who Jesus is and still be a believer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In John chapter 3 and verse 36, for example, the Bible says, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. I believe that's one of the warnings in the Bible, not to doubt who Jesus is. When there is doubt, we need to go to the Scriptures, where the Scriptures will fill us with faith and show us the truth. Each of us, each person must be persuaded himself about who Jesus is.
Absolutely. And Dr. Phelps, I'm looking at some thoughts here, and I find it fascinating. There's some that call themselves Christians today, as I said a moment ago, that cannot fathom and do not embrace the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus came into the world, he took upon himself, Philippians 2 verses 5 through 11 says that he took upon himself the form of man. And that's an addition, not a diminution. That's an addition, took upon himself. And I find it interesting that when you go to the Scripture, those in the Scripture that attest to the fact that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be, that he is God. Jesus himself claimed that he had equality with God and said, I and the Father are one. We talked about that a moment ago, John 5:18 and John 10:30. But listen, let me just give you a few instances, indications of those that attest to the fact that Jesus Christ is God. It was the testimony of the unclean spirit in Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, verse 23 and 24. The testimony of Judas Iscariot in Matthew 27:34. It was the testimony of Pilate, John 18:38. The testimony of Pilate's wife talked about the fact that Jesus is God and there was nothing in him that was wrong in Matthew 27:19. The testimony of the dying thief on the cross. The testimony of the Roman centurion went in Luke 23:47. He says, surely this was the Son of God. The testimony of Peter. I could go on and on and on. The testimony of the Apostle Paul. And then the testimony of Jesus Christ himself. Dr. Phelps, if you would read John 8:46. John 8:46. It was the testimony of Jesus himself. John 8:46. Who is Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen?
Jesus said, which of you convinces me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Next verse says, he that is of God heareth God's words. Mm-hmm. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God.
The whole point being, Dr. Phelps, in that unit of thought, those that reject the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that reject the fact that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, probably have never been saved. It is through the work of the Holy Spirit that gives the illumination and gives us the faith to embrace what the Scripture says in relationship to it. When we celebrate Christmas, Dr. Phelps, just think for a moment. We celebrate Christmas. We do so by giving and receiving gifts. Is anything wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that unless we put that as priority.
Mm-hmm.
there's a birthday being celebrated, but isn't it terrible that the one's birthday who's being celebrated is not invited?
That's right.
To many parties.
That's where it works usually with Christmas time. Jesus Christ gave us the greatest gift the world has ever received, and that's the gift of eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we give and receive gifts for Christmas time, we're celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ gave himself, came into this world, lived and died on Calvary's cross, buried, rose again, that we might have a victory over sin, death, and the grave through our faith and trust in him. Dr. Phelps, what other evidences do we have or statements you would like to make in relationship to the validation that Jesus Christ is God?
There's the prediction of Jesus' birthplace down in Micah. The prophet Micah said, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
The last part of that verse speaks of the eternal existence of the Savior, whose goings forth, this ruler, is described as one whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now, we know that Methuselah was old, mm-hmm. and ancient.
That's right.
But he wasn't from everlasting.
That's right.
Only Jesus then can be thought of as one who is eternal. God the Father and God the Son are one in their existence.
Mm-hmm.
For scriptures tell us of the eternal existence of the Son of God, of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the eternal one. He's the eternal Word, the Logos of John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus.
Right.
Jesus was there in the beginning. And so when we speak of Jesus, we must speak of him then as one who's eternal in his existence.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Phelps, there's something about a name. It is true in the scripture, and true in the scripture many times. As a baby is to be born, the parents will determine a name, and they usually will pick a name that has some relationship to what they want that child to be, what they want him to grow up to be. Tell us about the testimony of the Savior and his name and how it relates to his eternality, his name and how it relates to his deity.
Well, I'm thinking of one verse in the book of Luke. When the angel spoke to Mary, the angel said that she would be calling his name Jesus. But also in verse 35, he said, therefore, that holy one or holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that puts him in a different category from all other children that have been born.
That's exactly.
He is the Son of God.
He is.
He's not just the Son of Mary.
That's right.
Many people today think that that's all he is, just the Son of Mary.
A question that many people grapple with and do not realize that's the grappling factor, if I could use that term, is the fact that Jesus Christ is virgin born. And it's because he is virgin born. I use the term virgin birth means he is virgin born and very God.
Yeah.
I've been surprised down through the years at the number of preachers that will believe that Jesus Christ was half God and half man, 50% God and 50% man. There's some that say that Jesus laid aside all of his deity when he left heaven and came to earth, and that he took upon himself the form of man, but was not fully deity, full deity. Work through that for our listeners. When he came into the world, did he leave any part of his deity? Was he any less God when he was birthed and took upon himself the human flesh in Bethlehem?
In the Philippians, we're told those words that he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now that means that Jesus added to his deity humanity.
Mm-hmm.
But he never laid aside his deity on a permanent basis. Now some think that he just assumed the form of a man and had no power of deity, and therefore was less than God while he was on earth.
Yeah,
I do not accept that as truth, because Jesus performed miracles. He walked on the water. Jesus raised people from the dead. And only deity can do that.
Amen. Absolutely right. Speak to this factor that brings it to a nexus with what you just said and about his deity. Did Jesus' birth at Bethlehem, his debut into the world, is that the beginning of Jesus?
Well, the passage I read from the book of Micah would be a place to look at, of course. But we believe that Jesus came into the world, and he is one with the Father. When Jesus was speaking with the unbelieving religious people of his day, they had an argument with him about something he said. He said that he had spoken or seen Abraham. Mm-hmm. And one said, "Have you seen Abraham? And you're not yet 50 years old. Mm-hmm. How can you say that?" And then he said in John 8:58, "Before Abraham was, I am." In fact, there are at least a dozen places in the book of John where Jesus said, "I am."
What does that mean?
I'm always been. I always will be.
Mm-hmm.
I am and I shall be. Yeah, he is the ever-present, eternal God. And so, God the Father and God the Son are one in excellence of name, and that name is I Am. He would say in Revelation 1:8, "I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." See, I had a Jehovah's Witness to come to my front door one day, and when they came to the door, I said, "Excuse me just a minute, I need to pick up something, I'll be right back." I picked up my Bible, and I held it where they could read it, and I read that verse.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Now you and I both know there's only one Almighty."
That's right.
And all that person did was just turn around and walk down my sidewalk to the street.
Mm-hmm.
Never said a word.
Conversation over. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I am. The angel of the Lord appeared in a burning bush, and Moses turned aside to see it. And the burning bush, well, Jesus spoke to him and said, "You're on holy ground. Remove your sandals." And when Moses asked, "Who should I tell the Hebrews who you are?" That was our Lord and Savior's answer, "I am." So it's as far back as Genesis with Moses as well in that regard. And that's a tie back into the angel of the Lord that you gentlemen were speaking of in the first segment of the show.
Absolutely. And I like that, Jim, where God said, "Tell them that I am hath sent thee." And I've had people say, "Well, who's that? Who is the I am?" And one person explained it this way, which I thought was kind of unique. The I am is you write a check, and I am is whatever you need. I am is talking about the thrice holy God. So we're looking at Jesus, and when Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am," he is identifying with the thrice holy God. He is saying, "I am God." And yet there are a number of people today that say they're saved that do not recognize and understand that. Dr. Phelps?
In the book of John chapter 8, Jesus was speaking again with the religious people who didn't believe him and didn't believe the scriptures as well. And he said, "If you don't believe that I am, you will die in your sins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's putting it pretty poignantly,
isn't
it?
That's very poignant.
Jim, I'm thankful for the fact that as we celebrate Christmas this year, we can celebrate with a fresh hope, a fresh aspiration, a fresh, if you please, sense of change from the right sense because of the election. What is the nexus that you see for this Christmas versus previous Christmases as to what you see and hear in the populace and from others and what their anticipations are?
Well, if you're looking at it from the secular view, I think a lot of people are looking at the economy and the anticipation of an improved economy under Donald Trump. But if you're a Christian, you're looking at it is Christ may at this very second come, but we know that he is coming back and that he will be coming back for the believers. And that our eyes should always be upon him, regardless of what is occurring in the world around us, because we're just dust, paper. We're here, we're gone, and Christ is eternal, and he's our salvation and our hope.
Amen. Amen. And I pray that as people are listening even now, there'll be the recognition that if we celebrate Christmas and we do so with the giving and receiving of gifts because Jesus Christ is the greatest gift, we celebrate Christmas with the beautiful, colorful lights. There's some people that get upset and say, I don't believe you need to put up lights, et cetera, et cetera. But we are recognizing, Jim, we put up the lights for Christmas, the lighting a Christmas tree. We're saying, recognizing that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And so as we celebrate Christmas and we sing those wonderful Christmas carols, the angel announcing the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ said it's Jesus' birth is going to bring joy to the world, the whole world. And so it is a time of joy, celebration of Jesus Christ's birth into this world, and I'm thankful for that. Jim, thank you so much, and may you and your family have a Merry Christmas. Dr. Phelps, in John 20:28. Thomas, the scripture says, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. What does that mean?
I believe that Thomas was acknowledging that Jesus is God.
That's right, absolutely.
And so Thomas gave testimony. he had appeared to Thomas because Thomas wasn't there at a previous meeting, about 8 days previous. And he had said, if I don't see the print of the nails in his hands and his side, I'll not believe. And Jesus said to Thomas when he came, reach hither, reach here your fingers and put them in my hands and
yes.
In my side. And Thomas, when he did so, said, my Lord and my God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Thomas gives testimony of who Jesus is.
That's right. Recognized him as God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about John the Apostle? We find in John 1:18. Read that and explain that for our listeners.
Yeah, there's an interesting verse in John chapter 1, verse 18, which says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Some of the wording of that verse may be difficult to understand, but the second part of that says, who is in the bosom of the Father. I believe that's talking about the oneness that there is mm-hmm. with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is simply of God. We speak of it as the Trinity or yes. the Godhead.
Yes, and I like that word declared there, that we get our word exegete. In other words, he says, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath exegeted, explained, revealed, shown who he is.
Yes.
It's wonderful study.
Yes. In the person of Jesus, the invisible God was made visible to mankind.
Absolutely.
I Jesus believe we have is God manifest in the flesh.
Yes, absolutely. I believe we have Harper on the line. Go over to the question or comment, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for taking my call. And I believe there's two scriptures. I think Jesus said these things himself when he said, search the scripture, for they are they that testify of me. That's an admonition for us, to search the scripture. And then the other one, he says, he counted it not equal to count, or robbery, to count himself equal with God, because he was God. You might elaborate on those two ideas just a little bit.
Yes, Harper, what you're saying with that, he counted it not robbery. We misunderstand that word robbery. You look at the literal Greek, how would you say, transliteration of that, and he thought it not something to grapple, to hold on to cling to, that being equal with God, he was not going to cling to that, but was willing to come in the form of man and take upon himself the form of man and ultimately die on the cross. It was the Lord Jesus Christ as he was coming. In fact, it is the wonderful, wonderful text to validate who Jesus Christ is Amen. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. And it goes on to say, ultimately, that 10th and 11th verse, there's coming a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord indeed.
Amen.
Dr. Phelps, thank you so much, Harper, for your call. God bless you, and Merry Christmas to you and your family. Dr. Phelps, what are the thoughts do you have in relationship to Jesus Christ being God, going beyond Bethlehem? What are your thoughts?
One of the things that I've discovered is that there are many testimonies in the scriptures concerning who Jesus is at his resurrection. Jesus' resurrection and his exaltation at God's right hand in heaven was by what I call the divine right of the firstborn. In Psalm 89, he's spoken of as being the firstborn. And in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 18, we find that also. But the Acts 1:4 says this, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. I believe the resurrection of Jesus proves who he really is.
Yes.
He is God.
He said, I lay down my life, and if I lay down my life, yeah. I'll take it up again.
Yeah.
Could man do that? No. Only God could do that. And I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, that as we celebrate Christmas, we can do so this Christmas season, and the recognition that Jesus Christ is not just a babe in Bethlehem. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh to save us from our sins. So the question, Dr. Phelps, in the last few seconds we have, the question that some, well, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? If that's God on the cross, and it was in the form of man, why did that have to happen? Why did he have to come as man?
Jesus did not die as a victim.
That's right.
He died as the victor, V-I-C-T-O-R.
That's right.
He was paying the debt of our sin.
Absolutely.
He was the Lamb of God who came to take away my sin and yours.
John said in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600